Aaron, good to have you on News and Views.
It's good to be with you, Joel.
Hey, Aaron, I want to talk to you a little bit about some of the things that have opened up for producers out there. I know that in light of the drought in certain areas, you're going to allow some guys to make some hay.
Yes, you know, Joel, it's always a challenge in North Dakota because you go from east to west, north to south. We have our good productive areas that have gotten a lot of moisture, timely rains, and then we always have the areas that haven't got those timely rains or that moisture, and we have our challenges in that area. And believe it or not, some parts of the state are seeing just humongous yields in some of their small grains and some of their broadleaf crops. And then other parts of the state were challenged in that too. And what has happened is, you know, we have some counties in North Dakota that are in that D2 level. You know, they go from D0, D1, and all of a sudden D2 drought. And we have some of those in the state of North Dakota. And when that happens for 8 consecutive weeks, we then have the tools that allow some of the CRP ground to be emergency hayed. And that's what we're doing right now today.
I was reading through the news briefs that whenever I go on the road, Bonnie sends these to me, and it's a chance for me to kind of quickly peruse through some of this. And some of these counties, I driving through them as much as I have this year, I think it's going to put a smile on some of their faces, Aaron.
Well, you know, let me just say that the epicenter or the center of all this is Stutsman County, which is usually a county that gets abundant rain and just things are really clicking along there. Well, this year, they've met that D2 level and they've had 8 consecutive weeks of dry conditions. So Stutsman County is the one that triggered this to happen in North Dakota. And when you go those contiguous counties around it, that totals up to the 7. And those 7 counties are Wells, Kidder, Logan, Lemoore, Barnes, Griggs, and then the 7th one is Stutsman County right there. So we are opening up some of the CRP in those counties. Now people will say, well, gee, it's the end of the year. How am I going to get this done? Well, it's not our decision. It's based upon that drought monitor. And when that triggers, we make sure right away that we give the opportunity for those producers out there that may need some hay to get in there and cut that CRP and get some, you know, hay in the hay yard.
Aaron, what if the individual that's got some of that land into CRP doesn't have livestock? Can he allow a neighbor who might need hay to hay it?
That's exactly what it is. I mean, the contracts, you know, naturally are subject to a 10% payment reduction. They've got to cut the hay. They've got to leave 50% of that field. But that livestock producer can come in there and work out that agreement with that person and get that hay put up right away. You know, here in North Dakota, we're thinking about, okay, when's the next frost date or when's the first frost date? And that could happen, you know, relatively any time. But I think we've got a time window here where guys can get out there and get it cut and hopefully get it dried down and get it put up.
Aaron, I was at Big Iron and I was visiting with an individual who said, you know, we had some real sensitive land right on the edge of the river that, you know, kind of slumping land. And, you know, we put it into some great prairie grasses and it's worked. It's worked good for hunting. It's worked good for livestock production. It's worked good for the government. No more kind of running into the river, that type of thing. And he said, now with everything else, with the uncertainty of the farm bill, he said, we're probably going to end up breaking it up. And it almost broke my heart to hear him say that, Aaron. I mean, things are changing in this field.
Well, let me just say that with commodity prices where they have been in the past years, not like today when Sean is talking about them, but where they've been, and productions have been pretty high, the economics of farming some of that very sensitive soils have been better than putting it into those long-term contracts. So the economics show that, and some people are taking that route with it, whereby other people are saying, no, I want to look long-term. I want to look at the conservation side of it. The economics are important, but they're not the priority here. And people leave it back in CRP or try to re-enroll it. So we're seeing a lot of that in North Dakota simply because of commodity prices.
Aaron, let's kind of just, you know, clockwise circle the state by region. you know, and give me something, because you have a better take than almost anyone I know on something like this. I know what the crops look like in our area, and I know what they're turning out like. I mean, at one time we were all high-fiving each other, and now we're not. But in the southwest part of the state, which you hail from, that Mott region area, Hettinger, how do the crops look down there?
Let's break this into two categories, Joel. Let's talk about the small grains harvest crops and then the row crops. And naturally, the small grain type of crops in North Dakota are kind of winding down. And all reports that we've got indicate that the cereal grains, such as wheats and durums like that, had very good yields, average to above average, good quality. Things are very, you know, upbeat there. The small broadleaf crops, such as canola, flax, was the same thing. So those types of crops, I think, across the state fared very well. When you go to that second group, like the row crops, such as corn or maybe beans, that's where we're going to start seeing some real challenges. Certain pockets of the state, like we've mentioned, Stutsman County and those areas, you get in that edge, you know, let's say you drive by in a vehicle and you look and see the corn looks green, but it's starting to, you know, fire up and burn down or dry down. But when you get out into the field, there's some spots that aren't going to have the production there, particularly when you start looking at some of the beans out there, the edible beans and the soybeans, and people are real concerned about that now. When you get to the western part of the state, the corn crop out there is probably going to be a record. You get to the northwest, and there you don't find a lot of corn, but you find a lot of the pulse crops, the peas, the lentils, good reports of yields up there. You get to the northeast, and, you know, there a lot of the canola is just being swathed or laid down, potentially with some good yields. The corn crops up there, even though it's far north of the 49th parallel, there's some corn growing up in that, you know, Cavalier, Ramsey, Pembina, Walsh counties, and that looks good right now. They had moisture. They had some cool weather. They don't know if they'll have the big yields, but it looks good. It's just that central pocket in the state where this drought has taken place, and that's where it's got a lot of people concerned.
So for those individuals who some of this has opened up for now, what's their first action item here, Aaron? If they want to get together with you and the people that administer this program, and you live in one of these counties, if you live in Barnes, Griggs, Kidder, Lemoore, Logan, Stutsman, Wells, you know, what should you do?
And number one thing to do is, you know, contact your local county FSA office and get the details, get the contract numbers, get all that information put together, so that you can then request for it to be hayed, emergency haying. So, I mean, that's just the first thing you do. You know, if you've got a rancher that's, you know, looking to make some hay and he's contacted you, you still need to start at the county office and get the process started.
Well, I think it's wise. And I like the fact that it isn't all based on making a political call. It's based on science. You've got X amount of weeks of drought, and because of that, you know what people have. That's got to make your job easier, Aaron.
Well, you hit that one right out of the park, Joel. You know, it used to be whoever can make the most phone calls and create the most firestorm is where the CRP got opened up and got addressed. When they started putting all these other factors to qualify in, it took that whole political game just totally off the table. And now it's based upon the data. And, you know, when we look at NRCS or you look at Ducks Unlimited or Pheasants Forever or, you know, all those players that are concerned about these types of things, you know, the commodity groups, they all know the rules and they like them. And when we have these situations, we have a quick emergency meeting with all those players and everybody, it's always unanimous, the decisions, because they know these are dire situations and they got the data to back it up.
Aaron, thanks. I know how busy you were today, but I don't even feel guilty that I got you out of the meeting. I wanted to make sure that got out there. Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you. Thanks for getting the news out. Have a good day.
You bet. Aaron Crowder, head of the farm program here in North Dakota. Let's go find Terry.